welcome back to My Doc Journey. Today we're going to talk about how to conduct a good interview. As I've mentioned before, I've witnessed a lot of bad interviews, and it's unfortunate because it takes a lot of time and energy just to get to the point where you're ready to start asking questions. To then not get the footage you need, or to get like awkward, stilted answers, or exhaust your participant and your crew with a 3-hour long interview, it really sucks and it's totally avoidable. So let's talk about how to get a great interview from anyone. The key principle here is to make the interviewee feel comfortable. So important. So let's talk about how we do this before we even start the interview. You want to start off with a conversation. Chat with them a little while, ideally while they are sitting in front of the camera. And that way they get the chance to get used to the presence of the camera, which can be very off-putting. And they can sort of find their most comfortable position in the chair that they're sitting in. And you get a chance to learn how they speak and their mannerisms. And why do you want to know that? Because the second point here is to mirror them. You've probably heard this term before, mirroring. Psychologists say that people feel more comfortable when you share the same mannerisms. So like the simplest example of this would be crossing your legs when they cross theirs. Don't get ridiculous with this. You don't want to be fake. You want to be your real authentic self. I'm not saying you should affect a British accent when you're speaking to a British person. But for instance, if somebody has a very serious manner, then you can and should adapt a more serious manner when speaking to them. Conversely, if somebody is really goofy and smiles a lot, then you should be a bit goofier and smile more. Next, you should explain to them what's going to happen and let them know that you're having a conversation. This isn't like they have to unload the perfect dialogue every time. It should be relaxed. The video will be edited and you can let them know so they don't have to say everything perfectly. And if they need to stop and think, that's okay. Also explain that you're going to be asking questions as though you know nothing, like you know nothing about them or their background, because the audience won't know anything. And this is important to establish the idea that they're not really talking to the interviewer, they're talking to the audience. And we'll get into more about this later. So that's the basic of what you're going to do before you start. Here's how to ensure the ongoing comfort of your subject. Related to the last point about letting people know that they can pause and think if they need to, once you ask a question, do not count down. Not a ton of people do this, but enough to where it's definitely a thing for a director to be like, okay, 3, 2, 1, go. And this just immediately creates stress on the person that they have to start now. There's zero reason to do this. The camera is going to be running anyway, so just tell them to start whenever they're ready. I don't know where this came from, but stop doing that if you're doing that. Next, do not interrupt them unless it's absolutely necessary. And I mean like there's something wrong with the audio or some other major technical problem. Otherwise, you should not be interrupting them to change their answer in any way. And most often this looks like the interviewer stopping them right away and saying something like, sorry, could you include the question in your answer? And this really drives me nuts because usually this happens, like I said, right away. So right away, the person is now feeling uncomfortable. I'm doing this wrong. And they're in their head because now they have to think about how they're going to frame their question. If you have to say that, it means you asked the question wrong. And we'll get back to that in a minute. But secondly, you want to get people into a flow early on. The more they talk without being interrupted, the more comfortable they'll get, and they'll get more and more comfortable over time. The more they're interrupted, the more they'll get inside their own head and start to freak out. And one tactic that I use sometimes that maybe you want to use here is to ask a few throwaway questions at the beginning. This allows them to get into the flow with some stuff that you're probably not going to use anyway. And it actually has an added benefit for your camera operator in case they want to use that time to get some like close-ups, some cutaways of the hands and things like that. So let them finish their answer, and then you can ask some clarifying questions. Maybe mention to them that you're worried the audience might not understand the context of the question. Ask if they can restate the answer in a way that would be more clear to someone with no background knowledge. Again, here you're reminding them about the audience. The idea here is, again, that you're not correcting them. So you're not making them feel like they're doing something wrong. You're just clarifying. And you did already tell them that you are now an ignorant audience member. And this might sound counterintuitive about reminding them about the audience. Trust me when I say reminding them of the audience is actually helpful. I don't know why, but it's always been my experience. Next is, don't just blandly ask questions off a notepad. Be conversational. I can't believe how often I see this. And you want to keep in mind the type of energy that you want to get in the answer. Remember that mirroring concept I mentioned earlier? Well, people will naturally do it back to you. So if you ask someone, say, about their trip to Six Flags, and you want an upbeat answer, right? Don't ask the question like, did you have fun at Six Flags? Because you're just going to get a yes answer to that anyway. And maybe you're going to be like, yeah, I had a good time. That's not the answer you want. So what you want to ask them is like, tell me about your day at Six Flags. What was it like? Now you're going to get more of a story. You're going to be like, oh, we went to Six Flags and it was awesome. We rode every roller coaster, blah, blah, blah. And you're going to get that energy mirrored back to you. Related to this, you should actually be listening to the answer. One, so that you can respond in an appropriate way, even if it's just with your face. Obviously, you don't want to be talking over them, but you can still nod or smile or frown. And two, this way you'll know if they've already answered a future question. Not to say that you can't re-ask that question, but when you do, you should acknowledge, I know we sort of talked about this earlier, but I'd like to revisit, blah, blah, blah. You do not want to re-ask the same question a bunch of times. That starts to get really exhausting for everyone. And this is really important. Do not respond right away at the end of their answer. You want to give them a few seconds of space. They may decide they have more to say, or they may give you one of those great, you know, far away off looks that people often use in their B-roll. Either way, your editor will thank you for the breathing room at the end of the answer. And if waiting a few seconds feels awkward to you, you can always just nod to acknowledge that you heard their answer. And then sort of look down at your paper as though you're figuring out what to ask next. Finally, do not tell them what to say. This will put them back in their head. It'll end up sounding awkward and staged. And I don't know, ethically, it's just kind of weird just to tell people what to say. Instead, ask clarifying questions or even say something like, "Oh, I love that line about how the roller coaster made your head spin. Can you repeat just that part for me?" This reinforces that you like what they're saying, so they're doing it right, they're not messing up. And it actually helps them become more comfortable, and they'll naturally start thinking about sound bites, because we're all used to hearing sound bites. We know, when we really think about it, we know what kind of stuff editors want, right? So they'll naturally start thinking about sound bites and responding with them, but without feeling self-conscious about it. It'll be more natural. Okay, so to go back to how to properly ask a question, and I did touch on this a little bit. Think more along the lines of asking for a story rather than just a question, right? For instance, rather than "Why did you become a doctor?" phrase it more like, "So tell me about what inspired you to become a doctor." The first question is gonna get a bit more of a stilted answer, like, I wanted to help people get healthy. Whereas the second question, you have invited the subject to a deeper answer. And you might be worried that asking for a story will get like this long, droning answer. And I did tell you earlier not to interrupt, right? Well, this is the exception to that rule. Once your interviewee is in a place where they're like in a comfortable conversation mode, it is now okay to interrupt them as long as you do it in a conversational way, because that's how conversations work, right? So say they start to get into the topic of your next question and you need a pause in there. Now you can interrupt and say something like, "Oh, actually, I'd really like to go into that a little bit more," or something like that. And you should be able to, if you're thinking conversationally, come up with natural ways that you can cut in at that point without, again, making them feel like they're doing something wrong. It's all about being natural and going with the flow. And if you think about it, getting people to talk about themselves really isn't difficult. Even if it's a little kid or a reticent adult, if you get them comfortable, they will start talking. So I hope that's helpful. I hope you go out and get lots of amazing interviews. Thanks for listening and have a great week.